Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a testimony to God's grace. As I give you my testimony, I will read, first of all, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Yes, like the Apostle Paul, each one of us needs to be able to say, with regard to Jesus Christ, he loved me and he gave himself up for me. As I relate my testimony to you, in two parts. First of all, my conversion, and then secondly, how I got to seminary. My emphasis is on this truth of God's Word, that we need to come to grips with this fact and be able to say with the Apostle Paul, he loved me and he gave himself up for me. It was my privilege to attend the military academy at West Point and to graduate in 1963. My first assignment was in South Korea, and I was attached to the signal battalion at the headquarters company at the 1st Cavalry Division, just south of the demilitarized zone and north of Seoul in South Korea. Since we were at the division headquarters, I was able to get acquainted with the division chaplain, a fellow by the name of Dudley Boyd. I had had the practice of attending chapel and of attending church, and so I maintained that practice when I arrived in South Korea. Chaplain Boyd even asked me to help him in reading the scriptures and doing other things in participating in the worship services in the chapel. At any rate, in God's providence, the company commander of the company to which I was attached asked me one day to do a class on personal affairs. And so when the company was assembled in the post theater, which was directly across the street from the chaplain's office, I was able to give my class on personal affairs and talk to the troops about understanding what the Red Cross could do for them, and other organizations that were there might be, how they might be of assistance to them. When we got to the end of our class, and there was a minute or two left, and I looked at my watch, I said to the assembled company, "Well, you know, if you have a question that no one else is able to answer, a fellow that you could talk to, I'm quite sure, would be the chaplain. And the chaplain's office is just across the street here." With that, I dismissed the company, and they marched off to our company area. As I began to walk back to the company area, for some reason, God knows only, I turned around and I walked back to the chaplain's office. I sat down to wait my turn to get in to see the chaplain. There was another fellow in the chaplain's office. And when it was my turn to see Chaplain Boyd, I sat down next to his desk. It was in a little cubicle where there was only room for a chair for me to sit on and a chair for Chaplain Boyd to sit on and his desk. He looked at me and he said, "Lieutenant Pruto, why are you here?" And I said to him, "I don't have the vaguest notion," which was true. I really didn't know why I was there. The very next words out of his mouth were, "Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" I thought to myself for a moment, you know, it wouldn't be a good idea to lie to the chaplain. And so I said to him, no. And I hadn't really accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He took a New Testament out of his desk and began to go through a very typical gospel presentation with me. He read to me verses like, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, I knew I was a sinner. He didn't have to prove that to me. The first thing I did when I got to my assignment there in South Korea was to go to the officers' club and buy a bottle of vermouth and a bottle of bourbon so I could make Manhattans, the drink of choice, the drink that my father had taught me to enjoy. And I did enjoy them. So Chaplain Boyd didn't need to tell me I was a sinner. There were other things in my life that indicated that this was the case. Chaplain Boyd also took me to texts like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He took me to texts like, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he explained to me that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty due for the sins committed by people like me. And then he asked if we could pray together after he'd gone through the gospel. He asked if we could pray together. And I was glad for that because for the first time in my life, I really understood the gospel. I really understood what Jesus Christ had done for me. As Paul says, that he loved me and that he gave himself up for me. And so we prayed together, and Chaplain Boyd prayed for me. And I don't recall that this was the case, but perhaps I also prayed. But Chaplain Boyd prayed for me that I would truly trust in Jesus Christ. Yes, I had known about Jesus Christ and believed things concerning Jesus Christ. But now there was a faith in Jesus Christ, a trusting in Jesus Christ. And of course, Chaplain Boyd also indicated to me that it was important for me not only to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It was also important for me to turn away from my sins and to lead a new life. Repent, therefore, and return that your sins may be washed away. And so repentance and faith do indeed go together. So Chaplain Boyd prayed for me that faith and repentance would be worked into my life. And I left that office that day a different person. The fact that I was a different person was on display the very next morning when our company arose for Reveille and we assembled in the company area at Reveille. Some of the men in my own platoon looked at me and said, Lieutenant Prudhoe, why are you so happy? Of course, being in South Korea, you weren't supposed to be happy. But I was happy. I was happy because Jesus Christ had found me. And I knew that Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself up for me. And so my life was changed. Almost immediately, I felt the impulse to go to seminary. I didn't even know what a seminary was, but I felt this impulse to go to seminary. And the only church connection I had was with an evangelical congregational church in Kentucky. And I wrote back to the youth pastor there at this evangelical congregational Christian church to ask him for advice about seminaries to attend. And he sent me back a list of seminaries. And I didn't realize this at the time, but this particular congregation of the Congregational Church had become part of the United Church of Christ. And so this youth pastor sent me back a list of seminaries. And I suppose there were 12 or 13 or 15 seminaries. And I wrote to them and requested catalogs from them. When I received the catalogs from them, I took this stack of catalogs that I had to Chaplain Boyd, and I said, Chaplain, please help me make a determination as to the seminary I should attend. And Chaplain Boyd took the stack of catalogs in his hand, and he looked at each one, and he would say, too liberal. He threw it in the waste bucket. A second catalog, looked at it, too liberal, threw it in the waste bucket. Third catalog, looked at it, too liberal, threw it in the waste bucket. So we went through all of these catalogs, as I say, 12 or 13 catalogs, and I was astonished. I didn't know what to think. And Chaplain Boyd was from Southern California, from the Los Angeles area. And he said to me, why don't you go to Fuller Seminary? Well, I knew nothing about Fuller Seminary. But I had heard Charles Fuller, who was still alive at the time, I had heard Charles Fuller preaching on the radio on the old-fashioned Revival Hour, which was his radio program. And he was preaching the gospel. And at the recommendation of Chaplain Boyd and hearing Charles Fuller preach the gospel on the radio, I applied to Fuller Seminary. And lo and behold, by the grace of God, I was accepted at Fuller Seminary. The only problem was that when I left Korea, I was being assigned to Fort Hood, Texas. And So how was I to go to seminary? I was to go to Fort Hood, Texas. And when I was home on leave between Korea and going to my assignment at Fort Hood, Texas, my parents asked me this question when I showed them the letter that I had from Fuller being accepted. They said to me, well, how are you going to go to seminary? You're in the Army. I said, I really don't know. Well, when I arrived at Fort Hood, I got acquainted with a chaplain there. And he said to me, you know, my understanding is that the chief of chaplains has just had an Army regulation passed that would allow a regular Army officer like yourself to go on an excess leave program to attend seminary and enter the chaplain's corps. He said, it's a brand new program as far as I know, and I don't even have a copy of the regulation yet. But he said, I'll see what I can find out. So this chaplain went to work on my behalf and got a copy of this new regulation. And when I read the regulation, yes, I will be permitted to take a leave from the Army. It would be a leave without pay. I'd be permitted to take a leave without pay to attend seminary. And then I could, upon graduation from seminary, apply to the chaplain's corps, get a branch transfer, and become a chaplain. Well, that sounded like a good deal to me, but there were two things that had to take place before I could apply for this program. The first was that when I read the regulation, I needed 3 years of active duty before I could apply for the program. And the second was that I'd have to have an endorsement from my church. My church would have to say to the Army, yes, we'll endorse this man to be a chaplain once he graduates from seminary. Well, the first item was taken care of miraculously. This chaplain who found the regulation for me suggested that I talk to the administrative people at Fort Hood, and I did, and one of the administrative officers said to me, well, I'll send a telegram to Washington to ask about the program. He said, these programs change quite frequently, and it's possible that it's already been amended. Of course, this was long before email was available. So the next day, I went back to the administrative officer, and he said to me, I received a telegram back from Washington, and they said, the regulation has been amended. You only need 2 years active service before you can apply for this program. So you're now eligible, Lieutenant Prudhoe, and go ahead and submit your application. And so I did. I submitted my application. The other thing was that the United Church of Christ needed to endorse me for the military chaplaincy. What relationship did I have with the United Church of Christ? Well, the only relationship I had with the United Church of Christ was this church of my childhood, this evangelical congregational church of my childhood. But explaining this and working with a representative from the United Church of Christ, yes, this denomination did send a letter to the Department of Army saying that they would endorse me as a military chaplain after I graduated from seminary, even before I went to seminary. This to me also was miraculous. And so, by the grace of God and by the love of God, I understood that Christ had a plan for me, that Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself up for me. It was not only that this chaplain challenged me with the gospel and I came to faith in Christ, but it was confirmed to me readily through the actions of the Department of Army and through the actions of the church that I was able to go to seminary and become a chaplain in the Army. And I've said to people since all of this took place and I've given my testimony, you know, if God can move the Pentagon on behalf of someone like me, God can do anything. And that's exactly what God did. He moved the Pentagon for the likes of me to show me that Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself up for me. Oh, friend, if you have not come to Christ, if you do not know Jesus Christ, and you are unable to say with the Apostle Paul, he loved me, and he gave himself up for me, I urge you, turn to Jesus Christ. Understand the gospel message that Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order to lead you to God. That God demonstrates his own love to you in that Christ died, not for sinners, widely, but for you personally. He didn't die for sinners in the abstract, but he died for you personally. And you need to respond and come to Christ. You need to understand he loves you, and he died for you. And then you too will have the testimony the testimony of the Apostle Paul and the testimony of a lot of other people in this world, like Denny Prudhoe, who are able to say, "He loved me and he gave himself up for me." Thanks for listening.